You're listening to CPA Review, and more you're listening to CPA Review, and more you're listening to CPA Review, and more you're listening to CPA Review, and more. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you're joining from. And thank you for listening to this episode of CPA Review and More with your host, Phil Yeager. I'm your producer and director here at the Yeager Studios, Rob Medford. And together, we are bringing you the number one podcast for CPAs and CPA candidates. If you're new to the show, I'd like to be the first to thank you for checking us out. We're excited to have you as part of our listenership. If you're here because you've already heard our show and you're a continued listener, we thank you for the ongoing support. It's always greatly appreciated. If you're in the market for a CPA review course or simply want to know more about what Yeager CPA Review has to offer, check out our website at yeagercpareview.com or call our office and we'll answer any questions you might have. The link and telephone number will be in the description of this episode. Here at Team Yeager, we're excited to tell you about our new Yeager CPA Review subscription format. It's the same great Yeager CPA Review course that you know and love on an all-new, month-to-month, no long-term commitment subscription format. But without any further delay, I'm going to pass the microphone on over to your host, Phil Yeager.
Thank you, Rob. This is Phil Yeager of Yeager CPA Review, and welcome to our podcast, CPA Review and More. We have a terrific guest. I can see him because I can see him, and you can't, all right? But you'll be able to hear him momentarily. And Ben was on our podcast previously, and he was such a terrific guest, all right? And we had people writing notes, memos, emails, Ben, please, I'm not done doing it. Ben Wan. Ben is a CMA, MBA, CPA, and he's known as the numbers guy. Ben is interesting in that he's, first of all, Ben is a tremendous entrepreneur. I've known him now for a period of time. And what always impresses me, because I was sort of the same thing. You know, I was working for people, and I decided after 5 years, 7 years, and I said, I went to work one day and said, I don't want to work for anybody. And then I got into different ventures. Actually, most people don't know this, and I'll just share this with everyone. My first venture that I wanted to get into was to own a movie theater, okay? But there was a $7,000 franchise fee, which was a lot of money. Well, it's now it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money back then. So I couldn't get into that. So then it led me to the college teaching, the CPA review, and more. But anyway. Ben, you consider yourself an entrepreneur, correct?
I do. So it's all new to me. It's an exciting world to be in.
If someone hates working for people, they just shouldn't start their own business, should they? Is there any characteristic you think makes a person an entrepreneur?
That's a million-dollar question, isn't it?
Well, I'll take 500,000 and we'll call it even.
I think in this day and age, you can do both. You can work and you can have your side business. And what I found is that they help each other. So you become stronger in your job, you take more risk, and then you can use that knowledge to make a little money on the side.
So you have a full-time position.
I do.
Right? And where are you from the standpoint of the entrepreneur? What do you do with that exactly? Why do you consider yourself an entrepreneur?
Sure. So the site that we run is called The Numbers Guys, and it's a blog. And on that blog, we share a lot of articles, and in the process, we write books, we create e-courses, other digital type content. And really, if you like it and you like us, come buy it. If not, that's cool too.
But now, who is us? You say the word us. Who's us?
There's a group of like-minded people, about 10 of us, people I found from LinkedIn who also just want to share knowledge from that, not so much a theoretical angle, but the real world practicality standpoint.
What's the advantage of LinkedIn, do you think, too? Is it only to someone who's an entrepreneur? Or is it someone who's a professional looking for a specific thing? What's the advantages you think of LinkedIn? Because obviously you use it a lot.
I do use it a lot. I think there's something for everybody on LinkedIn. You can reach people who are otherwise outside of your network, your geography. You can share ideas, perspectives, bounce ideas off the wall, see if they stick. And it's a great place to learn.
Can you use it in any way to find a position if you want to find another job?
Yeah.
How would you use LinkedIn if I was wanted to find a job? And by the way, most people don't know this. I've always wanted to be a shepherd, all right, and raise alpacas. Did you know that, Ben?
I did not know that.
It's hard to get a flock these days. So anyway, how would someone use LinkedIn to find a job? Sure. I mean, how would you do that?
So you want to use LinkedIn to build a brand. So if I was trying to get into the llama or alpaca business,
pronounce my flock correctly. Go ahead.
I would write posts that kind of hint in that direction. I would write beautiful articles about alpacas and llamas. I would put some pictures up, some videos of me with alpacas. And then you start to become associated as being the alpaca guy. You know, if there's alpaca questions, they're going to call you. And you keep putting information out there. You share fun facts about alpacas. I can't pronounce it.
Alpaca.
Alpaca.
Have you ever seen one? Those are ugly looking. They look like llamas.
They spit, right?
They have buck teeth. You ever seen them? They have buck teeth.
Yes.
And actually, they used to advertise, you know, are you tired of your job? This was on TV. Are you tired of your job? Well, start an alpaca farm. You know, this is the whole thing. And you could shave them and get the wool and make clothing. It was a very exciting. I didn't go into that franchise. But anyway, all right. So I wanna get a job working for someone, learning the alpaca business. All right. So I could go to LinkedIn.
Yep. You go to LinkedIn, you'd start sharing and talking about it. And then you can use the features to find other people who are in the industry. You can connect with them, ask to learn from them. And then you engage with their content and you start to form those relationships. Because we know most jobs are found through referrals, not by posting on job board.
So, yeah, it's like what percentages of the jobs really are not on job boards? I mean, it's a huge percentage.
I think it's like 60, 70%.
Yeah, that's what I'd heard. And is there a fee to get onto LinkedIn? You can't just get on. You have to obviously pay something to join, correct?
No. They, for better or worse, they let everybody on.
Oh my gosh.
So there are some premium features that you can pay for, and they'll include an e-learning program they have, and some other advanced search features. But for most people, free is all you need.
And they have, do they have classes? You can watch videos on how to use it?
On
YouTube. You go to YouTube, I would think.
Yeah, there's books, articles, there's consultants now. If you're looking to learn it, there's an endless number of resources.
Okay. You're not a consultant for LinkedIn, correct?
No, but I did create a Udemy course on how to use LinkedIn effectively.
Oh, is it up? Is it still up?
It is up, and I'm working on the book.
The book. Is that your life story?
No. I just, I gathered too much knowledge. I'm at the point where I have to let some of it out, or I think I'll just explode.
Ben, how old are you? Can I ask you your age? How old are you?
Yes. I'm just turned 29.
Been 29, so you've been out of school for 7 years about, would you say?
Yeah, yeah, for my undergrad.
Okay, that's pretty good. So you majored in accounting, correct?
Yep, I did.
And what drew you to accounting? Why did you want to be an accountant?
So I started going to school in 2008 when the economy crashed.
Yes, and I remember that.
Tons of people lost their job. But the people who really didn't lose their jobs were accountants because it's a really recession-proof industry. You always need someone to close the books, even if you're going bankrupt. Kind of macabre, but I want security and I like accounting. There's so many different paths to go down. So that kind of drove me to it.
Did you go directly into the MBA program or was that a part-time, you were working full-time going for your MBA?
Yes. I did the MBA 3 years after I graduated and I got some experience working. I really didn't think that's the best way to do it. So when you have these conversations in class, you can add something, right? From the real world, some perspectives, experience. Yeah, I did a part-time just at a regional school.
And therefore, you must have had a lot of adults, older, not just people going through school for the first time, but they basically people who were working who were in your MBA program?
Yes, yes.
Was it in a class or was it online?
They started with the hybrid option and they ended with online only. I really kind of like the hybrid. There's a value to go into class and sitting next to someone to talk, and online kind of loses some of its spirit.
Yeah, I mean, the MBA, a lot of the MBAs, I think a good amount of them are now online. And yeah. People say, that's great. They don't have to go to class, you know. But I found when I did my MBA, which is basically in the 70s, and I went to Fairleigh Dickinson, and people used to make fun about Fairleigh Dickinson. It was called Fairly Ridiculous. And I'll tell you something. I had some good professors. They were all, like I took a marketing class. I had a gentleman who had a marketing, you know, company in New York City. And the same thing with economics. I had economists, I had investment brokers, that type of thing. So I got real world, you know, person up there instead of just an academician. But, you know, I don't know how they, I guess they do everything on, a lot of them online. And by the way, may I ask where you got your MBA?
Yeah, there's a school here. I'm in Pennsylvania called Westchester University.
Of course. For those who don't know where Westchester is, that's where QVC has their main headquarters, correct?
Correct.
By the way, did you ever apply to them for a position?
I don't think so.
Well, you would know, Ben. No, you don't think so.
I don't know. I've applied to a lot of places.
Yes. All right. So you got your MBA. All right. Now, you went for your CPA right out of college?
I think I had to wait a year or so. Per the company rules, so you get some experience learning first, make sure you're going to stick around.
And did you think the CPA exam was really a realistic? I mean, was it more of an academic exam?
Yes.
It was.
Yeah, so for me, it was mostly memorization. I memorized a lot of different stuff. I showed up to exam day and kind of spit it back out. And a lot of it I'd never seen again after that. I don't work in public accounting, and I had to learn all sorts of audit and tax rules that kind of mean nothing to me.
You got the CPA. What made you decide to go for this CMA? And by the way, tell everyone what the CMA is and who administers it.
Sure. So the CMA is the Certified Management Accountant. So it's a certification. It's offered by the IMA, the Institute of Management Accountants. And why I pursued it, that's a really good question. And for me, I wanted to differentiate myself in the market. Everyone has a CPA, but not too many people have the CMA or even have both. So being young and ambitious, I wanted to do that to help propel my career. And I also wanted to get into industry further and have more roles working with management and being involved in the decision-making process. So for me, the CMA seemed like a really smart play to get into that area.
So what's on the CMA exam that's not on the CPA exam?
Yeah. So to simplify it, the CMA teaches you everything you need to know to go into a job, any type of analyst role, and get started. It teaches you how to understand the flow of the business operations. It teaches you decision analysis, decision support, any type of tool that you need to be an effective participant in a business, the exam provides it.
Now, does it give you more, is it geared more to someone who's in manufacturing or that type of thing, cost accounting area? I mean, is that what the CMA does? Is that its purpose?
That's where it started off and it specializes, but really, if you have any type of role in working with numbers and doing analysis, it's going to be a good fit for you. It's no longer just a super niche certification. And it's really growing, too.
Doesn't the CPA, you get the CPA, you're studying financial ratios now. Actually, on the BEC part of the exam, there's a lot of information that's on the CMA exam, correct?
Correct.
Is that duplication if you're doing studying for CPA and then CMA? Is it a lot of duplication or is one, is it a very fine difference, fine line difference between the CMA and the CPA?
The best way I think about it is that the CPA is very broad, but not deep. And the CMA is much deeper. You can't just memorize stuff like I did. I actually failed the CMA the first time I took it because I tried that. I tried just memorizing stuff and throwing it out there. You have to know this stuff inside and out, and that's really where the value is at. So people who have the CMA hire other CMAs because they understand how much work goes into this.
If I have the CPA, do I need the CMA?
Do you need it?
I mean, will it do anything for me? I'm a CPA. Supposedly, I have a CPA. I get an MBA, and, you know.
If you have the time, I always recommend it.
Now, why? Why would I get? This is the whole thing. I'm working for... let's assume I'm working for, General Electric.
Mm-hmm.
And I have my CPA, MBA, MBA in finance, or MBA in whatever concentration. And I say to myself, do I really need a CMA? Is that going to do anything? Is that going to give me a higher income, or is it going to give me future higher income? Mm-hmm. What's the answer to that?
Yeah. So if you have your CPA and potentially an MBA, you're already going to be technically strong. But where the CMA also helps you is the strength of the network behind it. The IMA is a huge global organization. And what people really love about it is how involved the members are with each other. So you reference the CPA, and that's all small, separate state bodies. It's hard to get the support you need. But the IMA just does this fantastic job of providing mentorship, leadership, any type of opportunity you want to volunteer, they provide that. So we talked before about the importance of having network connections to grow in your career. If you go with a powerful organization, that's going to help you. So jobs aren't just about knowing the technical things, but connecting with other people and having those relationships. So I would recommend that you go for the CMA.
Okay. Give me an example of how the IMA mentors you. Can you give me a specific situation that you can think of or remember where they actually mentored you in a situation?
Yeah. I've been a participant in their membership program. It's a formal program they have where you can apply and submit what you're looking for, some of your background, and then mentors will reach out to you and see if it's a good fit and have discussions. And over the course of the last few years, I've had several really great mentors who have helped me get to where I'm at today. And I have a coach now too. And it's all part of the membership fees. I don't pay anything else for it.
Oh, so the IMA provides that?
Yep.
If you want to study for the CMA exam, I can call the IMA. Mm-hmm. Now, will the IMA, of course, the big question with any of these exams is how do I study for it?
Yeah. Right?
Does the IMA help in that manner? Or what would they do if I called them up and say, hey, I want to start studying for the CMA exam? What materials? Do you have materials you would recommend? Do they recommend materials, or do they tell you of the materials on the market and let you make the decision?
Yeah, they do provide some free resources. They provide the entire outline of the exam to tell you what you need to study for and how each section is weighted. And they also have a list of, I guess, all of the course providers so you can make your own decision. They try and point you to one or two who are preferred partners, but they don't push anything too heavily.
Yeah, well, they should. They remain independent.
Correct.
The thing is, I know you're very active with the IMA.
Yes.
Besides the fact of, people calling or you're seeking people out to become CMAs, mm-hmm. what else do you do? Are you on the board of the IMA did they ask you?
Yes. I went to the conference this year. So I've been involved with them several different events. I was selected for two young professional events to go and see the inside of the organization, which was fantastic. And then talking to a few people, they said it'd be worth seeing if I should apply to the global board. So I did that this month and we'll see if it goes through.
So, but you were given some type of award, weren't you, this past summer or?
Yes, this year.
What was the award? Well, tell everyone what the award is.
Young Professional of the Year.
Congratulations. That's great. How many people, how did they choose you for that award? You don't compete for it. They just picked you or how?
There's an application process. So they look at people and they assess how involved you've been with the organization in the last few years. They assess your professional growth, how you are involved with your local community, and just they try and make sure you're a really good person and you're involved and growing professionally and helping others grow. So I've worked to kind of stand out the last few years and it's worked to my favor.
Now, you're pretty familiar with the CPA exam and the CPA designation.
Yep.
You're also familiar with the CMA and the IMA, correct?
Yep.
Let's look at the, first of all, these are, the CPA is obviously a license, right?
Yes, it is.
Where the CMA is what, a certification?
Correct.
And let's contrast the two things. And I would like your opinion on, are you involved at all with the AICPA?
No.
Okay. All right. Now, do you keep up with what the AICPA is doing at all as far as how they're progressing? Because basically, the competition is the IMA. Am I correct?
You are correct.
All right. So what's the AICPA? CPA is a license. That's what they say. Mm-hmm. It's a license to be in public accounting.
Yep.
The IMA is a certification to be a managerial accountant?
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. All right. Well, you keep up, I guess you keep up what's going on in both organizations.
Yep.
When I took the exam, and I've mentioned this before in other podcasts, the CPA was a certification. Okay. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a license to practice.
Yep.
And what it really tested, and I'm going back to the 70s again, what it tested the CPA was if you had an overall knowledge of accounting and they threw in business law, there wasn't any economics or any of that stuff, but what it really meant to people that when you passed the CPA exam, you had a good knowledge of the accounting area. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't have to get now, then the next step came, do I want to get a license to practice? Just like a hairdresser has a thing that says, I have a right to do cosmetology, yep. Right? And that's what I had. I actually had that same little document said, but I'm practicing accounting. Now, I really think that that was good because, one, I got past the CPA exam and people thought, wow, he really knows his accounting. Mm-hmm. And then I decided, all right, I decided whether I wanted to practice or not. So it just so happened in the state of Maryland back in 74, when I passed the exam, there was no experience requirement. And you know something? I actually got out there and I decided I wanted to start a tax practice, you know, mm-hmm. do tax returns, individual returns. And you know something? I taught myself a lot of stuff. I didn't want to go work for a big firm. First of all, back then it was very hard if you were not a tax attorney to get a job at a tax department of a big CPA firm, mm-hmm. right? They wanted CPA attorneys. So anyway, I used to just, you know, I figured if I wanted to do it bad enough, I would learn it. And that's what I did. I taught myself. And, you know, and of course, you're going to make mistakes. As long as the mistakes don't really hurt anybody, all right, that's the way you learn from the mistakes. Well, yeah, and you know what? The way I see it now, I hate for this to happen. Because I'll tell you, I honestly, when I was in school, I didn't want to major in accounting. I didn't like accounting. Because I always felt accountants were very, you know, dull, boring people. And I didn't want people to look at me and say, God, Phil's got the personality of a dead sponge. You know, I majored in accounting for different reasons. But, you know, I graduated with a major in accounting. And I have to say to this date, I'm glad I took the CPA exam. In fact, I love everything the CPA has done for me. And I have no regrets. All right. And I want to thank the ASCPA for marketing it to the point that it has given me more money, all right? And that's not the only reason I do things. I have to enjoy them also. But they really marketed it.
Yeah.
Now I think they've dropped the ball, all right? There is a decline in the number of people taking the CPA exam, mm-hmm. right? And you know what? I haven't heard anything out of anybody's mouth that, hey, we got a problem. Let's wake up and smell the roses, all right? Now, I know the IMA, you know, I'd say probably 10, 15 years ago, they weren't really getting a lot of people, were they, in the U.S. especially?
Nope, they struggled.
So what they did to increase the, well, first of all, they increased their numbers in Asia, is that correct?
Correct.
All right. And also now it's in the U.S.
Yep.
How do they look at it? Are you at meetings where they talk about what they're, I mean, it's a business, isn't it? The IMA is a business.
That's how they think about it, yes.
Right. And do they state that they look at it as business? How do they, what's their philosophy?
Sure. So I got to participate in exactly one global board meeting, and you could tell that they were super focused on the voice of the customer. Everything that they were doing was for their members. And they were just there to facilitate all the in-between.
Because all the CPA, AICPA says, the CPA, we do it to protect the public interest. I hear that so much, I'm getting sick of it already. All right. Where you're saying the IMA is looking at, you know, the members, we're customers if we can take it.
Yeah.
Right?
Are they getting more value or are they not?
Now, how do you know what they're doing overall? How did they gain all of those numbers in like China? Is that where's the CMA big now overseas?
Everywhere. Specifically, Asia and the Middle East are huge right now. They're seeing a lot of growth in Europe, most continents.
And basically, to take the CMA exam, all right, what do you need to sit? What's the requirements to sit?
You need 120 credits, and you can actually even take it before you graduate school. But to actually become a CMA, you have to pass the exam, hold your bachelor degree with 120 credits, and have 2 years experience.
So, What kind of experience?
It's very broad. You have to have basically 2 years work experience for an employer in business, or it could be a nonprofit, government, anything. So just making sure that you're out there working, learning in the real world and qualified.
Yeah, then that's setting up roadblocks. You know, that's the whole thing. Now, when you got the CMA, is it helping you in your present position?
Yes. So my role, I am the head of operational controlling. So anything that is cost or inventory related, that's in my world. So I have to make sure that we're making the best decisions for the business and we're using our capital most efficiently. Production is efficient. So everything the CMA stands for and teaches is part of my daily life.
What did the CPA come out with to compete against the IMA? All right. Did they come out with a separate designation?
They did.
And what was that designation?
So they called it the CGMA.
Of which I have, you know, and I was grandfathered in. Did you know that?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
So they came out with the CGMA, and right from the bat, this thing stunk. Because, Phil, did you have to take an exam to earn this?
No, I had to write out a check for $300.
Yes. So right off the bat, they asked for money, and you got a certification. And right off the bat, that stinks because they're cheapening the whole process for all these other certificates, right?
I'm going to disagree with you on that, because when the CIA, Certified Internal Auditor, all right, that first came out, you could be grandfathered in if you wanted to be. All right, now, of course, there's an exam. So, there were others that grandfathered people in, but I don't think the CMA ever did that, did they?
No.
All right, let's go back to the CMA in China. Why are now the people in China, India, getting the CMA when it's not a license, right?
Yeah.
It's just a professional designation.
Yeah.
How is that helping them from a standpoint of their vocational skills and also their vocation in general? Do you keep track of that? What's going on in China, India?
So I think the big benefit of this is the appeal that it is this international business passport. It's a understood standard of knowledge. Everyone who has it, no matter where you live, has understood. And then they're transferable skills. So CMA, one country is the same in another. And people like that. People like not having all these segmented bodies, and they like having access to a very strong and connected organization. So those two things combined, I think, are really propelling the IMA.
Aren't the IMA concerned about the security problems of intellectual property being stolen in like China, India? Do you know how they handle that? I mean, that's one of the concerns of the AICPA, giving it in those countries.
I haven't seen anything on that.
Maybe they're not as concerned. Yeah, I mean, that's always been a problem, whether they might be having the problems, the IMA, they're just not mentioning it. It's possible. Mm-hmm. What's happening here? Does the IMA have relationships with the countries directly, like China, India? How did they get the CMA to be so popular in those countries?
Mm-hmm. That's something I don't think I know too well.
If you get on the board, will you find that out?
I will find that out.
Okay. Now, what about the U.S.? They always said, well, the U.S., there was no growth in the CMA in the United States.
Yeah.
Is that still the case?
No, it's growing by 10 to 20%.
A year?
Yeah, it's really been strong. Before, there was a lot of people who might do the CMA after getting a CPA, but now there's more and more people who are going straight to the CMA. For all the reasons we've mentioned, it's doing really well.
Yeah, what do you think as far as both designations, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you should have both designations, the CPA and CMA? And if so, what should be the order of getting them?
That's a really good one. I would recommend that if you have the time and the energy and money, go for both. Why not? You want to open as many doors as possible. But if you're going to prioritize, I would say do the CMA first and then the CPA.
Now, the CPA, I guess, and the CMA have very similar parts, right?
Yeah, there's some overlap.
The business environment concepts has a lot of the material that's on the CMA exam, right?
Correct.
And vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
I see when people are getting both, they're getting the CPA first because, people still say a CPA is, that is like the creme de la creme of certification, all right? And the CMA now, at one time people said, don't go for the CMA. There's not really jobs that are saying CMA or CPA. They still want the CPAs.
Mm-hmm.
Are the job openings saying CPA or CMA or both? What are companies doing as far as saying we think the CMA is important? How are they getting people? How do they advertise those jobs now for people with CMA?
Yeah, on most jobs it says one or the other or both. It's extremely common. There are some pockets, sure, where some people say CPA only or CPA required, and I'm not sure these people are in the modern society. Maybe they don't have internet.
Have you seen any ads that say CMA only?
No, usually it's either or. They don't want to They want to keep their options.
Okay, let me go back. I didn't ask that right. Is there any jobs that say CMA and don't mention CPA?
I'm not sure. I'd have to look further.
Because I know people tell me jobs say CPA preferred. All right. I don't know. And that's, I'm curious if you see job opening that say CMA, all right, don't mention anything about CPA. I mean, if you want to be a controller or a chief financial officer, is the CMA, will that get you that position?
Yeah. The CMA is so much stronger for that because you can understand the role so much better. A lot of times people will hire someone from public accountant into a controller role in a manufacturer, and the learning curve is so much steeper. There's so much more room for error, and it's a longer time until you can provide a payback. So
now in the last few minutes, I want to talk about, Ben is also a writer. He writes articles.
I do.
And have you written articles on blockchain, RPA, and BPI?
So I've written articles and now a book on business process improvement. And
which means what?
So business process improvement is the methodology, the art and science of working with people collaboratively to understand and improve process.
So what do you recommend to do with your designations and your degrees? What would be a good area to go? What would you recommend for someone to do right now if they want to go into the accounting arena? All right. What's the area to go in that's interesting and challenging?
I'm going to be a little bit biased, but I would recommend working for a manufacturer and helping them to modernize. There are an incredible number of businesses who are using systems and methodologies that are 20 years old. They haven't updated what they're doing and how they're working in their business. And the value that you can help them unlock is enormous. So you can be seen as a leader within your business. After you get a few of these things knocked out, for me, it's been great.
Are the manufacturing companies here in the States, or are they overseas, or both?
For me, I guess they're everywhere, but I've been focused on the U.S.
Okay, that's a good idea. And by the way, I know you work with certain people, and actually we've had a few of them on. Mm-hmm. And once again, they're entrepreneurs, and I think very highly of them. Let me just say this. You are writing books. Is there a book coming out? You have your book. What's it called?
Yes. So my book is called Becoming a Leader Through Business Process Improvement. So as I said earlier, I write books. I have the book now, and I also do Udemy courses to teach these people these skills.
I'm sorry, what was that? Udemy?
Udemy. Udemy.com. Okay.
All right.
And that's a video course with training exercises, quizzes, assignments, so you can learn and apply your knowledge as you go.
So how did I get that book and how did I get your course?
Sure. So you can go and find my book on Amazon in a Kindle or soft cover option. And my course is on udemy.com. You just have to search for my name, Benjamin Wan.
And you think someone will gain a lot of information from the book, right?
Yeah, I wrote it.
Is it written in English?
I try and write it in.
I didn't mean a foreign language. Is it written in such a way that people can understand it?
Yes, that's what I'm such a huge proponent on. Let's just talk in a language that is conversational. Let's talk like if someone were to sit across from me and say, "Teach me everything you know about business process improvement." That's this book.
Yeah, we could speak more and more, and I have really run out of time. And how, Ben, do you? Do help people who want to become CMAs, right?
Yep.
Right. How could they get in touch with you if they have questions about the CMA exam? Is there any way to contact you?
Yeah. LinkedIn's the place.
I have to say this, Ben, I have met you. Ben has actually been here. We recorded one live here, but Ben, very impressive guy. I'm telling you, I am seeing young people, Ben's age. And I say you're young.
Yes, you can say that.
You know, Ben, sharp guy, knows his stuff. He knows where he's going. And Ben, I think that's great. I mean, I don't know. I know people in this area. You know, I've met more people through the podcast, but I have met a group such as yourself who are really, I'm really impressed with people who have that entrepreneur spirit. Mm-hmm. And also they want to share that information that they have with other people. You know, they want to mentor. They're not just say, I'm going to keep it to myself and not share it.
Thank you, Phil.
Yeah, and Ben, you're doing a terrific job. All right?
Appreciate it.
Keep up the good word, and I hope we're going to have you on again. All right?
All right.
A regular segment, me and Ben.
All right, let's do it.
Phil and Ben, whatever. Anyway, take care, Ben. Stay well. thank you again for being on CPA Review and More, and I'll turn it over to Rob.
Once again, I'd like to thank you for being the best part of CPA Review and More with your host, Phil Yeager. If you have any questions or topics you'd like to hear on the show, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show to share your story, we want to hear from you. Send me an email to the studio at podcast@YeagerCPAReview.com. If you're enjoying the content that we're providing, we'd greatly appreciate it if you'd submit a review to the Apple iTunes podcast app to let us know how we're doing. If you're in the market for a CPA review course or simply want to find out more about the CPA exam and what Yeager has to offer, check out YeagerCPAReview.com or call our office and we'll answer any questions you may have. The link and the phone number will be in the description of this podcast. Here at Team Yeager, we are excited to tell you about our new Yeager CPA Review subscription format. It's the same great Yeager CPA Review course that you know and love on an all-new month-to-month, no-commitment subscription format. Check it out today. Once again, my name's Rob Medford. I'm your executive producer and director here at the Yeager Studios. And until next time, take care and be audit you can be.